are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to a special edition of Locked On Giants. It is Friday, December 28th, and we're going to do something a little different today on this show. In the past, we've done a week that was type of program where we go back and we listen to some of the quotes that came out of the locker room and I break them down and kind of just weigh in on it. But I thought for this last regular season Friday of the 2018 season, we would do something different. And I brought on a special guest to help me with the program. And I'll tell you who it is in just a moment. But just really the format, what we're going to do is we're going to go down a list of the Giants active roster. And we're going to look at a few names. I'm going to throw out some names to our special guests. And we're going to just see, you know, who has the most to play for in terms of, you know, salary cap, in terms of who's in the draft, who might be in free agency. And this gentleman is going to weigh in because he's done a lot of study on this stuff. And I can't think of a better person to have on the show than Emory Hunt of Football Game Plan. Emory, thank you so much for coming on.
Anytime, Pat. I appreciate you having me.
Oh, my pleasure, Emory. All right. So we are going to get started. We're going to start with the offensive side of the ball. And Emory, it just seems like when I was making up this list, I kind of went in clusters here as far as positions. So I'm going to start with the receiver, specifically the third receiver candidate. So of them, we have Corey Coleman, we have Jawil Davis, Cody Latimer, Russell Shepard, and Benny Fowler. When you think of that group, who do you think has the most to prove, and what are your thoughts as far as the direction the Giants might go to get a third and fourth and maybe even fifth receiver moving forward?
Sure. I look at that part of the equation, as you mentioned, those receivers and those guys in particular. I like Corey Coleman more so than what they currently have because he's the former first-round pick. He's a guy that has gotten better since he's come to New York, and also has proven to show his value as a kickoff returner with his great field position that he seemed to always get when he touches the football. And I think as a third receiver, which I had him pegged coming out of the NFL draft, I know a lot of people I thought probably graded him a little bit higher than most, or than I did. I had him, you know, he was kind of to me more of along the lines of a second and third option in the passing game. And a lot of people had him as a number one option, especially since he went early in the draft. They thought he was going to be what you see out of Odell Beckham Jr., but that wasn't his game. I think in this offense, as that third option, along with Beckham and Shepard, he has tremendous value because he doesn't have to go deep down the field. He can, but he doesn't. And if he does get a short pass, we've seen this on kickoff returns, he has the speed to take it to distance. So I like him as a third. Jawil Davis is a guy that they really like because they obviously kept him as an undrafted free agent, promoted him to the active roster, utilized him on kickoff and punt returns, and his route running is pretty solid. So from a route running perspective, I think that's another player that they really like and like to see progress. So I think the big battle for me will come down to Shepard, Fowler, or Latimer. I know they brought Latimer in via free agency. They had a lot of hopes for him, but to me, he just hasn't found his stride as far as being consistent on the field when he's out there healthy. And also, when you look at him coming from Denver, you're thinking, man, this guy was a highly touted pick for Denver. Never really made an impact out there with the Broncos and had a chance to, but just couldn't crack that lineup and get on the field consistently. And it's kind of been the same thing here with the Giants. So if it was me, it's going to be Shepard, Fowler, and Latimer fighting for that one spot. But I do think Davis and Coleman are guys that you can really count on and grow with and really round out this core.
So you're thinking that Coleman might be a suitable third receiver candidate. I'm just wondering, you mentioned kickoff returner. We've seen kickoff returns kind of go by the wayside. A lot of kickers are able to get it into the end zone. It's like almost like the kickoff returner role is starting to diminish somewhat. The punt returner, on the other hand, is taking on more of a priority. So with that said, I mean, Corey Coleman has primarily been a kickoff returner. Do you still think there's enough to justify if he finishes strong to bring him back?
I think because of his pedigree and what he has done, in the league so far. Even he didn't have his success, the success that they wanted him to have in Cleveland. He's shown enough to where he can be a legitimate threat in the passing game. And I think as a third receiver, where he's going to see third coverage, you know, maybe a nickel corner or maybe a safety, he can win those matchups easily. And that could help foster his success, especially when you have guys like Beckham and Sterling Shepard, and even a guy like Evan Engram pulling coverage away. It opens things up for a guy like Coleman to have success. And I think he has the talent, the skill level, the athleticism, the speed to really make a difference as that third receiver in this offense.
All right. Sounds good to me. Let's look at the offensive line now. The two big question marks, guys who are potentially playing to come back next year, include right guard Jamon Brown, who will be an unrestricted free agent, and right tackle Chad Wheeler. Now, what's interesting about Brown is he is also able to play right tackle. I know I've asked him that in the past, and he has said that. We haven't seen him with the Giants play right tackle, and I don't remember if he played it much with the Rams. I'd have to go back and look. But of those two, who do you think comes back and why? And of the one that doesn't come back, where do you go, draft or free agency?
I think they keep both guys. And the one thing about the offensive line and any offensive lineman to tell you, it's about continuity and continuity with the guys that you're playing with. So let's say, for instance, if you plan to bring back Solder, you have Hernandez, Brown, Wheeler as your four, and you get John Jalapio back at center healthy, that's a pretty solid starting five. Now, you can make a case for, okay, maybe we can upgrade at right tackle, or maybe we can upgrade somewhere else. But I think from that point on, it's about building good depth. And so you figure with guys that you already have on the roster, you know, guys you want to keep an eye on. I think one guy that's on the practice squad that's really good, in my opinion, is Jalen Ware, who came out of Alabama State. He was with the Raiders, and the Giants were able to pick him up and bring him on the practice squad. So they got some guys that they're developing, guys that are pretty decent. Nick Gates was the guy they were real high on coming out of Nebraska. They signed him, and he's on IR. So you have some young guys that you can still develop, and now they're going to have a second year in that program. But getting Jalapio back, I think, makes it more easier to keep guys like Chad Wheeler, who's progressed as a starter at right tackle, and Brown that can fill in at right tackle if need be, but also has proven to be a solid guard. I think center is going to be crucial for them, and that's why I believe Jalapio gives them a lot of flexibility and also just helps continue to build the depth. I think you don't have to go offensive line in the draft. I think you can go more offensive line in free agency, getting you some young guys that are out there, and perhaps build the depth even more with guys that can even serve as swing starters, so to speak. They can play multiple spots like you talked about, and that still have some upside left while you also develop the young guys that you brought in this past offseason. So, contrary to popular belief, I think the offensive line is in good shape.
Is there a particular guy out in free agency? And I know, you know, just like the draft class, which isn't complete yet, free agency class isn't really complete yet, but is there someone you're thinking of that, you know, maybe might be a target for the Giants in free agency at that right tackle spot?
I don't have a name right off the bat, but I will say this. If there's a guy that would come available, let's say if you look at the Baltimore Ravens, and one thing about Baltimore, they've done a good job in investing heavily in the offensive line. And, you know, you draft the guy in Orlando Brown that now is the starter, a guy like James Hurst. Do they keep him around? No, they love him, but maybe you go after him if he's available. So that would be a name. But other than that, I would say keep what you have, develop what you have. I think that's one of the more underrated parts of offensive line play, especially at the NFL level, because, you know, we talked about this before where, yeah, a guy may be dominant in college, but he's 22 maybe, and he's dominating guys that are 18, 19. Well, when he goes to the NFL, he's dealing with guys that's 28, 30 years old, 31 years old that have been in the league and have that grown man strength, and it's going to take him time to get acclimated to the pro game, the pro strength level on a consistent basis. So I think that's why you can't really jump down a guy's throat right away if he's a rookie offensive lineman that's struggling. But give him about a two-year window to really get acclimated to what's going on and the amount of talent he's going to face on a consistent basis across the board. And I think that's how you can really build that strength and that continuity up front, because these guys have been playing well. I think once they get Jalapio back at center, maybe that's another position that they could probably invest in the draft. Get another younger guy that can play the role in case he has some setbacks. But I think they're fine up front as far as not needing to go and draft one early.
All right. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traynor, special guest Emery Hunt of Football Game Plan. When we come back, Emery, I purposely save quarterback for this next segment. So we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about quarterback. And I also want to touch a little on running back too. So stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. You're with Patricia Traynor, your host, and special guest Emery Hunt of Football Game Plan. And we're going through the active roster, the 53-man roster, and just kind of identifying which guys probably have the most to play for in this, the regular season finale coming up Sunday against the Cowboys. And just trying to, it's early, yes, but we're trying to kind of handicap which direction the Giants might go at certain positions. And we started off with the offense. We talked offensive line. We talked receivers. So now we're going to talk running backs, and then we're going to talk quarterback. And the reason why I'm bringing up running back is currently the Giants have Saquon Barkley. He's not going anywhere. They have Wayne Gallman, and they have Eli Penny as their active guys. But they also have this kid, Robert Martin, on the roster. And then, you know, obviously they're going to have to make a decision on Jonathan Stewart, who's on IR. They had put him, they had designated him to return, but they decided not to bring him back. Emery, where do you see the depth at running back changing, if at all?
Man, that's a great question when you think about it, because you look at the backfield and you do see a drop-off when you take Saquon Barkley out of the game. And granted, Saquon Barkley is great. And to go from Saquon Barkley to the other guys on the roster, obviously there are certain things you can't do offensively. So, you know, they brought in Jonathan Stewart via free agency to be that backup for the season, but he wasn't as effective and got hurt, put on IR. So that left Gallman in a role where he was going to be the number two guy, and Elijah Penny that came on late that really was added to the roster. And you mentioned Robert Martin. He had a fantastic preseason. I thought he did as well as Jalen Simmons had a really good preseason. But I think this is an area, the RB2 role is a place where they can perhaps get a guy in the draft that can help them out. And what I like about where they are now in the draft, at this position, you want to get guys that can do a lot of the same things as your starter. Quiet is kept. You see this happening across the conference in the AFC with the New York Jets. They have a guy in Bilal Powell, but behind him they have Elijah McGuire. They also have Trenton Cannon, whom they drafted this year. Guys that have similar strengths. They are both about 5'10"-ish, about 195, blazing speed, very good receivers out of the backfield. They do the same things, have the same skill set as Bilal Powell, so there's no drop-off. And also they have Isaiah Crowell. I think in the Giants' case, you look at Saquon Barkley, okay, if we take him out of the game, then who can we put in and so that way he can get a breather, but we also don't lose a little bit of the threat. So I think when you look in the draft, obviously you don't want to go that in the first round, but guys that could be there later on in the draft, maybe round two or three, that can give you some of that. I know one guy that everybody is not talking about enough, and he may be a first-round pick, but I do think a guy like Bryce Love out of Stanford at 5'10", about 195. He was a Heisman finalist last year. Now, some may see him going higher in the draft, but he's been a guy that has had some injury concerns, and I think that's going to drop him down a little bit in the draft. But he's one of those players that can come in and be a good spot starter. Although he was able to carry the load at Stanford, I think he's probably best served as a spot starter in the league, because he's a quick starter, doesn't have to get the volume to really have an impact. He's good as a receiver out the backfield. He has home run speed, and that right there could pose another threat on the offense. Another guy that I like that would fit well with the Giants would be a guy in Mike Weber out of Ohio State. He has already played a role where he's going to have to maximize the carries that he's going to get because he was splitting time with J.K. Dobbins, that was the quote-unquote starter at Ohio State. So both guys had their success. Both were able to have a lot of production on the ground. And I think when you look at Weber, one thing that's underrated about his game is that he can also catch the ball in the backfield. He has home run hitting speed. So those would be two backs I would keep an eye on that can come in and fill that number two role for the Giants. And it can also be something that you can consider to be an asset because of how they can utilize them within that offense. So I think RB2 is a position where they could use a bit of an upgrade.
So you don't see necessarily Wayne Gallman filling that role?
I mean, to me, Gallman is more along the lines of a three, you know, a special teams guy that can help out as a returnman. You know, he can come in a pinch if need be. But I think if you have a chance to get better, especially if you address what I believe to be some major needs, and these two guys that I mentioned are still around, by all means, grab them right away. Or if some of the top tier guys at other positions of need are not available and you still have an opportunity to add more firepower to an offense, you definitely need points to win and you need a lot more threats than what you have, I wouldn't hesitate to pull the trigger on a guy like Bryce Love or Mike Weber.
All right. Sounds interesting. Certainly, it's a position that nobody's really talking about, but I think you make an excellent point about wanting to get a guy who can do what Saquon Barkley can do without that much of a drop-off. All right, Emery, let's turn to the elephant in the room, and that would be the quarterback situation. Now, on Wednesday, the news came out Justin Herbert is returning to school. We're still waiting to hear about Dwayne Haskins. I think, you know, there's a couple of other guys we're waiting to hear on. You know, we look at Alex Tanney. We look at Kyle Lauletta. Let's start there. First off, who, if any of those two, do you think survives, or do you think they just move on from both?
I think they keep Lauletta. I think, if anything, they'll move on from Alex Tanney. Lauletta is a Dave Gettleman guy. So, obviously, that's the quarterback they chose instead of the quarterback early in the draft, like 98% of the people wanted him to. But the 2%, like myself, was happy that they took Saquon Barkley. So, if you're looking at that from, let's say, a personal perspective or point of view, I think he stays because that's a Dave Gettleman pick. Tanney would be the one to be given his walking papers, I believe, after the season. So I think that's where they're going to fill the role with perhaps a guy early in the draft if he declares, which I think he will because – and the guy I'm talking about is Dwayne Haskins because he got the first-round grade from the Draft Advisory Committee. Now, this is a committee that's composed of people within the NFL that – gives you a grade on or in a range of where you can go in a draft. And the rule of thumb is if you get first round grade, you go. If they gave you a day two, day three grade, you know, they even add the designation in there, suggestion of, you know, you should go back to school. But rarely do they give out first round grades. And if they give out first round grades, by all means, you go. Because you want to strike while the iron is hot. While your name is pretty popular, while your value is high, because if you go back and you don't have as good of a year, now you give them reason to drop down your value, which ultimately drops down the money you can make. So if you have a first round grade, you definitely want to leave.
Yeah, that would certainly make sense. Now, you know, the big buzz obviously is Eli Manning. Do they keep him? Do they get rid of him? Do they extend him? I've always been in the court, and I've said this right from the get-go, that they will keep him in 2019, potentially extend him 1 year for cap relief purposes, not because, you know, for a merit or to extend him indefinitely, you know, and then see if they can pick up that quarterback in 2019. If it's not in 2019, everybody I've spoken to who, you know, is familiar with the draft has said that the 2020 quarterback class is going to be stronger. Emery, how do you see that all playing out as far as the Giants' transition plan from Eli Manning?
Here's the thing. People always will say this. Oh, the next year's draft class is great. To me, that's lazy scouting. That's lazy talent evaluators. Because if you're worth your salt as a scout or a talent evaluator, while they may not be named guys at the top of the list, to say that there's not talent, startable talent, franchise-level talent in an NFL draft when there's 804 football playing colleges from Division I all the way down to junior college and also counting the colleges in Canada, You mean to tell me you can't find seven starters in the draft, or I should just wait a whole nother year for a whole nother set of, let's say, 2,500 eligible draft prospects to come out to say, okay, yeah, now this class is worth it? Like, no, you get out there, you find talent. And I think if the Giants, what it looks like, it's going to be picking pretty within range to get a franchise guy, i.e. Dwayne Haskins, that would be the player that I think would be ideally suited for what Pat Shurmur wants to do offensively. He's the best quarterback in the draft, quite honestly. You draft him now, and you let the chips fall where they may with Eli. I think, you know, however long his contract is, don't extend him, let it play out, and you already have your guy in the wings that can be ready to take over once his contract is up, or if you feel as though he can provide a spark like we've seen with Lamar Jackson, like we've seen with Baker Mayfield getting in a starting lineup, you do that. But right now, don't extend Eli. Draft the guy now, especially if you're within striking distance of getting him. Get him under contract. Get him that, get that fifth year, and roll with the young guy. You know, roll with Eli until the young guy you feel as though is ready to go. But don't extend him, because let his contract run through. Send him off with a nice gold watch, and you know, hang his jerseys up if you want to. But you have a chance to get a guy now that I think would be an ideal fit for what this offense need, and would be a guy that can really expand this offense with his physical talents.
Now, let's say Haskins doesn't declare. Then what?
Then you look at a team that will probably want something high to get a quarterback. If they don't want a quarterback high, then if you're sitting there, wherever number you pick, it's going to be within the top 10. You take the next best player at the next position of need. So you take the best pass rusher you could find if you're the Giants, if Dwayne Haskins decides to return. So you take a guy that you feel as though is a legit difference maker at getting to the quarterback. If not pass rusher, find the next best cornerback that can take the ball away. Can you score? Can you take the ball away? And that's the two biggest pieces of philosophy that you want to take into a draft. I need to find guys that can score the ball and guys that can take the ball away.
All right. So, Emery, I know it's early again, but if you're the Giants, how do you think they go based on the information we have as of this recording?
I think they go Dwayne Haskins. And Haskins, again, it would be a surprise, a shock. I would be stunned if he took a first-round grade from the advisory committee, knowing that they're not generous with those grades, and returned to Ohio State. And if you're reading the tea leaves with the whole Justin Fields from Georgia transferring, he's been rumored to like Ohio State. That rumor wouldn't get out there if there wasn't any possibility of it happening, which also means that Haskins would be leaving. So I think Haskins comes out. I also believe the Giants will do the right thing and take Dwayne Haskins. And now they have Haskins, Barkley, an assortment of receiving options, and the passing game is going, and the offense as a whole is going to look a heck of a lot better than it did in 2018.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, Emery, didn't Haskins start, what, 14 games in his career? He only has like a handful that he started. Is that correct?
That's correct. And you look at the last guy that did that, who went second overall in Mitch Trubisky, and here's the secret. Haskins is light years better than Trubisky. So that right there, Trubisky went second in overall with that little bit of experience over guys like Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, which was ridiculous. So you look at this draft and these quarterbacks, Haskins, number one, is clearly the best one out the bunch. So I'm not worried about his playing experience or lack thereof. He played some games last year in relief of JT Barrett. He had to step in the crucial situation and play well. He beat out Joe Burrow this summer and this spring. He beat out Tate Martell, took the starting job, and has broken records at Ohio State, and records that have stood since 1982, and Big Ten records. So I think when you look at Haskins, he had his level of play on the field in pressure situations in big games down the stretch. When they needed him to win, they had no room for error. That's not, I don't care about his 14 games this year and the little experience he had the previous year. I think he's polished enough to where you can trust him because of his accuracy, the acumen, and the anticipation he has on his throws and where he puts these footballs to allow guys like Odell Beckham Jr., Sterling Shepard, Corey Coleman to run after the catch, Evan Engram. That right there is exactly what they need to open up this passing game.
All right, interesting stuff. We're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traynor and special guest Emory Hunt of Football Game Plan. When we come back, segment three, we're going to turn our attention to the defense, so stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. You're with Patricia Traynor and special guest Emory Hunt of Football Game Plan, and we are going through the Giants' active roster, kind of looking at the different positions and determining where the Giants might go. It's early yet, but, you know, we're talking free agency, we're talking draft, and Emory's dropping some really, really good nuggets so far on, you know, his scouting evaluations and the direction he would go. So really glad he's with us. Emory, let's turn our attention to the defense. And I think the Giants defense can use help across the board. So let's start up front on the defensive line. You know, I think they don't yet have the type of rotation that they're looking for as far as the depth goes. Would you agree? Or is there a particular area, whether it be as interior lineman or end, that you feel that they need to really focus on?
I believe depth is a big concern up front. You hit the nail right on the head. We still don't know what they have in R.J. McIntosh, who they drafted this past year in the fifth round. Mario Edwards is on the roster. John Jenkins is the guy that, you know, hasn't been as sometimes he's inactive, sometimes he's active. Josh Morrow, we saw him play a little bit. Kerry Wynn has been playing really good football this year. But I believe they need depth behind B.J. Hill, Dalvin Tomlinson. I think this is an area where you probably want to go with the free agent route, because in a 3-4 defense, yes, your three down linemen have to be you want impact players, but you want guys that can really hold a point and collapse a pocket, which allows your outside backers to really feast. And that's when you can truly thrive. If you can get an interior pass rusher, a guy that can play the five technique, fine. You want to find those guys. But I think the focus draft-wise has to be on the edge. But up front, along the defensive front, you want to get depth. And I think you build depth with veteran guys.
You know, you mentioned getting guys who can help the outside linebackers or the linebackers in general feast. I was going to ask you about the linebacker position, obviously, next. The unit as a whole has been very streaky, up and down, mostly down. Is that a result of just the lack of talent or underachieving, or is it because of what's going on in front of them?
I think it's a little bit of both. And guys, when you don't pose a threat, so to speak, it's easier to game plan against. If they're not worried about someone constantly coming off the edge and they feel as though they can block you straight up without designating an extra guy to compensate for, let's say, a potential mismatch. Let's say, for instance, when you look at Kansas City, on one side you have Justin Houston when he's healthy, but he hasn't been. But on the other side you have Dee Ford. So when you look at Dee Ford and you're like, man, you know, this is a guy that we can't leave him one-on-one. You know, we got to find a way to block him up. Houston's on the other side, and Houston is one of the best defensive rushers in the league. So he's going to get the focus, which then frees up Dee Ford, who's a first-round pick in his own right and is a great pass rusher. And that's why he's able to eat. When you look at the Giants, you like Lorenzo Carter, and one part of his game that was critically underrated coming out of the draft was his ability to rush the passer. And I asked him at the combine. He said that he wasn't asked to do so at Georgia, and he was a solid run defender. So you have a guy that can find ways to get to the quarterback that still has some upside, but you don't really have a true threat coming off the edge. Olivier Vernon is that guy, but we've seen how healthy or not healthy he's been, and you hope you can get a full-fledged 16 games out of Vernon, a healthy 16 games, because that's the one threat. And if Carter develops, that's your second threat on the other side that can really hold the point and you know, really set that edge and allow Vernon to really tee off on the QB. But I do think they need someone that strikes the fear of God in the quarterback's eyes, and they have to find that guy coming off the edge. And I think you go young at that position as opposed to going to a veteran.
Right. I want to go back to the linebackers in just a second, but before I do, I want to go back to the defensive line. Ever since, you know, the Giants made the decision, obviously, to trade away Damon Harrison. You know, it was probably driven by financial, by the fact that Damon was going to be 30 on his next birthday. It just seems to me, though, that they haven't quite replaced that production. You know, they moved Dalvin Tomlinson to the middle there. When you look at Dalvin Tomlinson and you look at the guys that they're rotating in at that at where Snacks used to play, do they have a guy who will ultimately, you think, grow into that role and be as productive as Damon Harrison was?
I don't think they had that guy on a roster. And, you know, it's unfortunate because that allowed a guy like Dalvin Tomlinson to serve as, you know, that pseudo five technique where he was having success along with Snacks, and then you could bring along B.J. Hill. You really were formidable up front with that front three. But when you moved Harrison to Detroit and now have Tomlinson playing a different role, it takes away the threat level of that defensive line, and they haven't been the same since. And that I think that's a fair statement to make. But I think they have to get better there if they want to be successful in 2019.
Okay, so now flipping back to the linebacker spot, you know, you mentioned Olivier Vernon. I believe he's got a $19 million cap hit in 2019, and the production just hasn't been there. You know, now, yes, the guy has been injured. We can't, you know, we can't fault the guy necessarily for being injured. But let me, two-part question here, Emery. Number one, looking at what you have seen of Vernon, is he really a good fit for what James Betcher is trying to do? And number two, how much was he hurt by not having a legitimate, you know, second lieutenant, if you will, on the other side? You know, the way how Justin Tuck and O.C. Umeniura had Strahan on the other side, you know. And even, you know, when Vernon was down in Miami, he had Cam Wake on the other side of him, and he was able to, you know, draw the double blocker. So, you know, what do you see just with that whole scenario there?
I like how quick he is off the ball. So he has the burst, the quickness. You know, he has a variety of ways of getting to the quarterback. But the last two seasons, he's played in 12 games last year, 10 games so far this season. The injuries have been nagging enough to where he has come out of games, or, you know, he may be ineffective to where he misses a game. And it's sad because it takes away the potential. And, you know, if people want to go back even further, when you look at his breakout year in Miami, okay, he had 11.5 sacks. I want to say it was his second year. And that was the last time he had double-digit sacks. And I know a lot of things change. Routines start the game plan for you and find ways to block you. But you also have to look at, okay, is this the best we're going to see from Vernon? And can we get more? Maybe we could find another guy, and that way we can save him for certain situations. And you see teams do this where they'll get a very good pass rusher that can also play defensive end and use the other outside linebacker on the field at the same time. So you really have three pass rushers out there in obvious passing situations, and that could actually help prolong Vernon's season, but also make him even more impactful when he gets out there. So I would find a way to keep him. But the problem is that, you know, you start to look at the financials, and that's why you have those guys that focus on that, because that's going to be the biggest key for whether or not he can, you know, be around. Because I still believe he has value. He's a really good player, and if you want to keep him around and prolong his season and help him maximize his talents and his effectiveness, maybe having him in a sub role as opposed to a down-to-down starter could be the way to do that.
Is there someone in the draft that you feel can come in? And again, I'm just going by what I've heard, but everybody I've had on the show has said that this is going to be the year. If you're in the market for a pass rusher, this is the year, because they are so deep in this class that you could easily, if you want to, come away with, you know, a couple. Do you think that will be the case for the Giants? Are there guys that you can see being a good fit for what James Betcher wants to do?
Yeah, there's a couple of guys. I mean, you look at a guy that's probably cut from the same cloth as Olivier Vernon and Ja'Kai Polite out of Florida. He's about the same size. He finds ways to get to the quarterback, and he's consistent, and that's what you want. He's a guy that's a nuisance. You have to know where he is constantly on the field. He's been excellent. I also look at Jalen Ferguson of Louisiana Tech. He's a bigger guy. He's about 6'5", 255, and he cuts from the same cloth of a Kerry Wynn, a guy you could probably stand up but also put his hand in the dirt as a 4-3 end. And we know a lot of times it's just all about, you know, if a guy is standing up or not. A lot of times it's just, you know, it's a combo defense we're seeing nowadays, not necessarily a 3-4 or a 4-3. But Ferguson does give you that flexibility to put his hand on the ground, but also can stand up as an edge rusher and get after the quarterback, which then allows you to put Vernon in more of a sub role where he can then create havoc off the outside. So now you have lengthy guys with Ferguson and Carter coming off the edge. You also look at Montez Sweat from Mississippi State, 6'6", 245, and he's another one that is very good versus the run, very active versus the pass, a really good pass rusher, got that length that everybody looks for. And to me, those are the guys that would be within range for the Giants to, you know, if they want to pass on a quarterback, if the quarterback isn't there and they want to find a way to affect the defense and find one of these pass rushers. I think that would be the second need for New York outside of corner on the defense. But you want to find those premier guys as a pass rushers. So I would probably take that position over corner if you're the Giants. So I think those guys that I named would be good fits for what they do here defensively.
And speaking of corners, we have Janoris Jenkins. We have, I just missed my thing. B.W. Webb, Grant Haley, Tony Lippett, Sam Beal, who's on injured reserve. Do you think the Giants have their two starting cornerbacks on this roster? Or, you know, what do you do with them? I think Sam Beal is going to be a starter next year, even though he's on IR. But do they have a second guy?
Yeah, that's the biggest question. You know, Haley is an undrafted free agent, has been doing some really good things in the nickel position. And you're right, Sam Beal is a guy that we're still going to wait to see a lot more about. They spent, draft capital this year in a supplemental draft to bring him in. So they still have to get their value out of him to waste, you know, to waste, not only say waste, but to utilize a pick on him in a supplemental draft means you think highly of that player. And that player figures to be a big factor in your plans moving forward. So you're right. Bill is a guy that you have to wonder about. But I think this is a position where you're going to see the Giants go extra aggressive in both free agency and in the draft. I like some of the versatility they have with guys on the roster that have been stepping up and playing well. Sean Chandler, another undrafted free agent that can play corner or safety, can play down the slot if need be. He's been a guy that has value. And Grant Haley, I talked about. Sam Beal is a guy you bring up is a good player. So we'll see about him. But I think they have to address this one in the draft and also in free agency. They're going to try to come up with maybe two starters, one from each, you know, way of acquiring players, draft or free agency this offseason.
And we got to talk safety. Okay, Landon Collins, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. Now, I did a piece for Forbes suggesting that maybe, you know, the Giants who don't have a lot of cap space, they will create more cap space, but they have a lot of needs too. So I suggested that maybe the Giants put the transition tag as opposed to the franchise tag on Landon Collins in an effort to save a little bit. What do you see? How do you see that playing out? And what do they do to complement him at free safety? Because I don't think that Curtis Riley is necessarily the long-term answer.
Yeah, for him, for Collins, it's a lot like Olivier Vernon. You know, the last 2 years, he's dealt with some injuries. And 2016, when he had that all-pro season, they had a free safety back there that was able to eliminate mistakes and allow him to be more of a move piece in the secondary. And I think that's what they want to get back to with Collins. And if they can do that, that allows him to be a lot more successful and start to make more plays on the ball, both against the run and also against the pass. And I do think that he's still a very key playmaker within this defense. Health is going to be big for him. He has to find a way to regain that health he's had the first 2 years he's been out here in New York. But the last two, it's been a little bit of a injury plague seasons for him. So I think he's still a key player, a huge part of what they do defensively. free safety is where they have to find difference makers. And to me, you want, I talked about having the skills to erase mistakes, take the ball away. It will be interesting to see how healthy a guy like Earl Thomas is once he comes back, because having an Earl Thomas back there would be huge for a guy like Landon Collins. Now, the money is going to be big for Thomas. That would be one free agent that I think is worth going after. You know, we'll see how healthy he is once he returns from the injury, but that's the guy that I would think would be worthy of going after. Free safeties in this draft, there's no one guy that stands out to me the most as a premier option that, hey, you have to get this guy because he's a legit ball hawk. I think right now, if you're looking at a free safety for the Giants in that position, they're going to have to address it via free agency.
Interesting. So you feel that if they get a good free safety to complement Collins, that's going to restore him to his Pro Bowl form?
I believe so. I think when you look at how well he can, he just diagnoses plays well. He's a smart football player. Anything closer to the line of scrimmage, he's great at, you know, as far as like being a blitzer coming off the corner, being an alley defender versus the run, being a short area defender in the passing game. I think he can excel there. When you have him playing a little bit deeper, that's where, you know, he tends to guess a little bit and try to figure things out. He gets put in a compromised position because of these faster, quicker guys that can come in and out of their breaks and the way teams are exploiting secondaries now with their personnel. But the closer you have him moving toward the line of scrimmage, the more excellent he becomes. And I think if you can get him back to doing the things he did in 2016, where he was more of a matchup guy, you know, they moved him around in certain situations and had him blitzing, had him being a force defender against the run, that's where you get the best of Landon Collins.
So with that said, Emery, do you invest big bucks to bring Landon Collins back?
That's the million-dollar question, right? I think so. Here's my philosophy on that. I don't want to see good football players go out the window and walk out the door. I know, you know, people look at height, weight, speed, but there's a thing for having guys that are just good all-around football players. And if you have enough of those, you're going to win a lot of games. And to me, Landon Collins is a good football player. He just understands the game and has that we call it that dog in him. That's a guy that wants to play football, that wants to play defense. He takes it personal when you gain yards. He doesn't give up on anything. He's hustling. And I think that's the type of player that you want. I wouldn't mind paying him and keeping him aboard this football team because of that type of mentality and that type of talent that he has. And you've seen what he can be. They just have to make sure the pieces are there around him to help continue to put him in those positions to where he can have success.
Interesting. And Emery, final question. We've gone through pretty much all the positions. I know we didn't talk about tight end. We probably should have when we did that, because I don't know that they keep Red Ellison, but tight end, receiver, whatever position, where do you think is maybe where the biggest surprise is going to be? If you're the Giants and you're saying, oh my God, we got to do this, but the rest of the world, the media, the fans, they're not talking about it. What position do you see as really being the one that's going to probably shock people with how the Giants might pursue to fill it or address it?
Man, that's a great question. I think it's going to be cornerback. You know, I know a lot of people talk about quarterback. That's obvious. But I look at that secondary and I say that's where they have gotten worse. Not worse in the sense that the guys that are on the roster are terrible, but 2 years ago you had a secondary that had Janoris Jenkins, that had an Eli Apple, that had a Dominic Rogers-Cromartie that was a move piece, and also a Landon Collins. So your secondary was actually a strength on this team. And you had guys that can, you know, play well in the slot that you kind of rotated within. You had depth at safety. So they were strong in the secondary 2 years ago. Now they're questionable. And I think a lot of people will be surprised at how aggressive they are in free agency and in the draft in addressing the secondary and just trying to upgrade the talent level across the board.
And one area we haven't really talked about because it's not an area that's on the field, but I'm fairly certain the Giants are going to make some changes to the coaching staff. I would be very surprised if Pat Shurmur keeps his staff intact.
That would shock me, because I like what they have. Obviously, I like special teams coach Thomas McGahee. I think they have a really good teacher at the receiver position with Tyke Tolbert. I also like what they have in Craig Johnson in the backfield. I love those coaches. I also like what they brought in along the offensive line. Wilkerson, was an offensive line assistant. And I think that's a guy that's been very underrated. He was a really good player in his own right at LSU, also in the NFL, now getting his feet wet, in NFL coaching. I think that's an underrated piece of the staff that they have that has really galvanized this unit. So I think they're fine on the coaching staff. What I would hope to see is that these guys all get on one accord and be able to understand where they are deficient, and let's get this thing together to where we all have the same voice and understand the same mission going forward. Not saying that that's not happening, but I would be shocked if they made changes to their staff.
Well, there's usually changes, whether somebody goes to college or retires or whatnot. So that's going to be interesting to see. But Emery, this is a really, really good exercise. I hope you had a lot of fun with it. Tell everybody where they can find your work.
Well, I appreciate you, Pat. I really had a lot of fun. They can follow me on Twitter at FBallGamePlan, and they can subscribe to the Football Game Plan Network, which is located at youtube.com/FootballGamePlan. That's where you're going to see all of our draft content that will be coming down the pike. I have some draft content up already from my time, I want to say 2 weeks ago, at the FCS and National Bowl, which is a college football all-star game. You can find all those practice videos, those one-on-one wide receiver drills, one-on-one O-line versus D-line. Those are some underrated draft prospects that are out there right now. This upcoming, next month, I'll be at the College Gridiron Showcase. I'll be at the Tropical Bowl. I will also be at the East-West Shrine Game and the Senior Bowl. And all of that updated draft content, player interviews, practice highlights, and my draft grades for by position will be up on our YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe there. Like I said, youtube.com/footballgameplan. And bookmark the website, footballgameplan.com, where we archive all of our stuff as well, articles and things of that nature. So a lot of good stuff coming down the pike in 2019 from Football Game Plan.
You realize now I'm going to have you on again, Emery.
All right, listen. You got the hotline. You got the red phone, so you can call the bat phone. I'm good to go.
You have become one of the favorite and most requested guests on this program. I just want you to know.
Well, I appreciate that. People must be a glutton for punishment. So,
well, listen. I'm sure they're tired of me saying, guys, I haven't studied the draft yet, but I do try and get people who are knowledgeable about it. And I still say that you're one of the most underrated, but yet rising superstars in that arena. And I'm very, very thankful that you took the time to come on, especially last minute, to come on when this idea popped into my head. So it's just a fun show, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Anytime, Pat. You make time for people that are important to you.
Oh, well, thank you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you Sunday. I assume you'll be there Sunday for the game?
Absolutely.
All right. Our last hurrah until next year. So, all right, Giant fans, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening. Thanks to Emery Hunt. This is Patricia Trainis signing off. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.